Song. You know, it's great to be with you all this morning. Last weekend, the campus was away for our spring retreat, and that was a great time together, and I know all of you looked together at Romans chapter 3. And I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And we're going to be skipping chapter 4 this morning and going back to it next week. You know, it's been great studying out the book of Romans, hasn't it? You know, I've really been enjoying this series, and Larry was going to preach on Romans chapter 4 this morning, and then I was going to do Romans 5 next week, but since he was away, we just did the good old switcheroo, and I'll do Romans 5 this week, and he'll do Romans 4 next week. Sound good? Cool. So Romans chapter 5 will be today, and as basically every chapter of Romans, there's a whole lot to cover in just one chapter. So I'm going to really just try to focus in on just a piece of chapter 5 today. That tells us that what we have and who we are as Christians is invaluable, that it cannot be priced. You know, the world that we live in runs very heavily on the idea of value. You know, what is something worth? To who? What is it for? Or who is it for? How much is it worth? What can I do with it? Whose was it? All these different questions help us to put a value on different things. And this is not just with money, but with decisions, with time, with energy. And then there's some things that we would say are priceless, right? These are moments, experiences, memories, things that we would say money can't buy, right? The world runs heavily on the idea of value. And the title of my lesson this morning is The Invaluable Truth. The Invaluable Truth. Who we are to God, what we've been given, and what it costs God for us to have that is invaluable. The gospel is truth that money can't buy. And today from Romans 5, I want to cover three areas of value that we each individually can have conviction about from the true gospel message. And those three convictions, those three truths are, I am priceless, I am expensive, and I am not for sale. First is our value to God, the second is the value of Jesus' death, and the third is our value of our relationship with God. So let's start in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, with the first point, I am priceless. You guys with me? You like that point, right? I am priceless. You're priceless to God. Romans chapter 5, we'll start in verse 5 and then go back to verse 1 later. It says, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is an incredible passage, one of my favorites in the whole New Testament. You know, it tells us that we are priceless to God. You know, the word priceless reminds me of those MasterCard commercials, right? Different things cost different amounts, and then there's some things money can't buy. You know, you think box of unleavened bread and bottle of grape juice, $7. A new Bible, $25. Retreat registration, $200. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Priceless. You can't put an amount on that. You know, Romans 5, 5 to 11 tells us that you are so important to God. You matter so much to him that you will not and cannot find more worth or value from anyone or anything than you can find from God. God values you more than anyone or anything else ever will. You know, it tells us a few things in here. It says that God has poured out his love into your heart, that he has given you his spirit. That means that he wants to be in you and with you all the time. It tells us that your righteousness and your relationship with God is based on his grace and mercy and not your perfection or your performance. It tells us that his love for you is unconditional, because while you were still his enemy, powerless, ungodly, it was then, as a sinner, that Christ died for you. God loved you. God loved all of us too much to wait to see if we love him back. He made the first move. He approached you. He made you. And then you turned your back on him. And then he died for you because that was the only way there'd ever be the option or chance to get you back. That's how much God loves you. And I appreciate so much Kyrie sharing in communion today about God's love for us in that way and how much God, as the Father waiting on the porch, is longing for us to come home. We are priceless to God. You know, it says that someone would give their life for someone that they love, right? Someone would give their life for someone they love, but no one would give their life for someone who sinned against them as much as we've all sinned against God. No one would do that. You know, he gave his life for an enemy. Before you ever sought him, believed in him, knew him, before you were cut to the heart or even started to change or repent at all, his love was there for you, willing to die for you, to give you the option to know and love him back. You know, this passage tells us that God's love for you is unending, it's unfailing, and with all of that, we know that it is also undeserved. This unfailing, unending love that he has for us. You know, Psalm 36, verse 7 says, "How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings." You know, this tells us that the love, the unfailing love of God is priceless. There is nothing like it. You know, in all of this, Romans 5, it tells us that you cannot put a price on the love that God has for you. And you also cannot put a price on the value that God has for you. You know, the amount that God loves you is priceless, the value that he has for you. You know, no one else will love you the way that God loves you. You know, people have different values of different things, you know, and there's some things that if, you know, you walked in the store and you saw the price of it, you would see it as worth it and you would buy it. And that maybe me or somebody else would see that same thing worth that much and say, man, there's no way I'm paying that for that. Because we all value things differently, right? You know, I remember my grandma who was an antique collector, and she owned her own antique store, and then it closed down, and all of it in this huge store was relocated into her house. And then she started to just sell it out of her garage. And, you know, growing up, I would go and see just how much stuff she had and really not understand why it was so valuable to her. These old baskets, rolling pins, and cabinets, and just all this stuff, you know? And these were antiques to her that were priceless, precious. And she sold these things, and I would come as like a 13-year-old, 12, 13, 14, and I would help her setting up for these garage sales she would have. And I don't know about you guys, but when I go to a garage sale, I'm not looking to spend more than a few bucks for something. You know, Chelsea and I have this coffee table I bought like 6 years ago for $5 at a garage sale. You know, and I'm like, that's what I'm looking for at a garage sale. The 2, 3, 4, the 25-cent bargain, right? You know, my grandma, she had these antiques that were so valuable to her. And I would be helping moving around, setting up, and I would look at this basket and see $60. And I'd be like, oh my, nobody is going to buy this. You know, I'd be helping her move this big old cabinet, and I'd see the price tag on it, $300. And I'd be like, my goodness, I just could not, because they were antiques, right? And that was the value of them to her, the book value. She was looking them up. And then I would see people pull up with the big garage sale sign out, and I'd be like, oh boy, here it comes. I'd see people get out of their car with their kids, ready to come get a bargain at a garage sale, walk in, and I'd watch them pick up one item after a time, see the price tag, and put it back down. And then I would almost be a little bit honestly embarrassed about it. I'd try to, my grandma's far away, I'd be like, I know, it's ridiculously expensive. You know, I wanted them to know that I wasn't on the same page with the price tag. You know, now these things really were worth that much officially to an antiquer, but to somebody going to the garage sale, you're not looking to spend, you don't even have $300. You don't go to a garage sale with $300, you know, you go to a garage sale with $10. You know, so, you know, people would walk away, and then every once in a while, there's somebody who really valued antiques and they would buy something, right? But most of the time, I would see person come in, see the price tag, and walk away. You know, and I think it's so convicting for us to see that that's how anyone else would have viewed us except for God. Because of our sin, anyone else would have seen the price tag and walked away. You know, but to God, you know, God only made one of you, and that makes you an irreplaceable child of His. You know, there's nothing about you, nothing you could do, no matter of sin you could have committed, to have caused God to see your price tag and to have walked away. You know, to Him, you're one of a kind, name brand material made by God in heaven, and there is no knockoff option for you. And because of His great love for you, He had to pay whatever the cost was to buy you back. That's how much He loved you, and that's demonstrated by the cross. We see the proof of His love. You know, love has to be why God died for us on the cross. Nothing else makes sense. You know, and it would have taken a lot of love to do that. You know, by leaving heaven, submitting Himself to human nature, denying Himself every time, every day, in every way, and then dying the most brutal and painful death of human history, what did God have to gain? In paying all that, what was there in return for that for Him? What was the trade? Where was the value in this? The only thing He had to gain was a relationship with you. He got nothing else out of that but His relationship with you back. You know, that means that all He wanted was you and that you were worth that to Him. He was willing to pay whatever it was going to take, and it took a lot. It took the death of Jesus. You know, we've got to know that we are priceless to God, that God loves you more than anyone or anything else ever will. We can't ever doubt that or look for that love somewhere else. You are worth so much to Him. And I really want you to think this morning, where do you get your worth from? What or who do you allow to place value on you? You know, you should allow God to do that and no one else, because God views you as priceless. You know, we all mean more to God than we will ever mean to anyone or anything else. You can't find more love, value, or worth from anything or anyone. You are priceless to God. Amen? You know, we are priceless, but that doesn't mean we didn't cost something, right? We're valuable, but we're also expensive. And that's something else we've got to know, is that we were expensive. I'm expensive. Not in a way to be conceited about, but in a way to be humbled about. You know, we cost a lot to have a relationship with God. You know, you are priceless to God, but it cost Him a lot to save you. You know, we can know on one hand that no matter what the price tag said, God was willing to pay. But we need to know that it was not cheap. It cost Jesus' life. You know, look at Romans 5, verse 12 to 21. You still with me? It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, there's a lot being said here. And I think one of the main things that we see is that it cost a lot to save you. You know, you are expensive because of how much your sin cost and how valuable Jesus is. You know, this passage says that we're all worthy of wrath and condemnation, but Jesus paid for us. You know, this passage is relatively confusing, and there's a lot of difficult stuff, matters being addressed here. And I would encourage you to read some commentary and talk to somebody about this to try to learn it better afterwards. But if there's anything this passage conveys, it's that Adam's sin did a whole lot of damage, but Jesus' death was even greater in power to save us from that damage. That's what this is saying. If there's anything that the past few chapters of Romans has taught us, it's that we are all equally sinners before God. So just as the consequence and penalty of Adam's sin was eternally great, so is ours. The consequence and penalty of our death is great. Our sin separated us from God, put us on the path of an empty way of life, and it earned us punishment and condemnation, God's wrath. That is the wages of sin that we have all earned like Adam did. That's what we're worthy of. That's how steep of a bill you racked up. And that is why nothing and no one can save you other than God. No one else can afford to pay for your forgiveness. Your forgiveness is way too expensive for anyone or anything to afford except God. And that's why your void will still be empty and there will still always be a leftover balance if you try to fill your life anywhere else other than with God. Only God can afford you because you have an absurdly high bail price. You know, that's the reality of things. No one else could have paid off that debt for you other than God. You know, have you ever gotten a bill higher than you anticipated? This is, I like cross my fingers every time I get my email from PSE&G. I'm like, please, be on the lower side. You never know. You know, and the truth is, most purchases, we're not even allowed to negotiate or haggle. Most of them, you can't call and work your bill down. You know, some you can. Most of them we can't, right? You owe what you owe, right? You know, and honestly, whenever I know I have to negotiate, I get nervous because I know I'm not the best at it. I'm not the best haggler. Chelsea's a good haggler. She's like, no, we're gonna pay a lower price for this. You know, but haggling, you know, you can think about old marketplaces and bazaars and different things like that. You know, things are priced and you know that you could go in there and it says 20 and you know you could work your way down to maybe 15 or 16, you know, if you could do some haggling. And I got this video clip here of from a comedy movie of somebody learning what it means to haggle. So I just want to play this for you quick.
How much, quick?
What?
It's for the wife.
Oh, 20 shekels.
Right.
What?
There you are.
Wait a minute.
What?
Well, we're supposed to haggle.
No, I've got to get...
What do you mean, no?
I haven't got time.
Well, give it back then.
No, I just paid you.
What? Yeah.
This bloke won't haggle.
Won't haggle?
All right.
Do we have to?
Now, look, I want 20 for that.
I just gave you
20. Now, are you telling me that's not worth 20 shekels?
No.
Look at it. Fear of quality. That's not in your goat.
All right, I'll give you 19 then.
No. Come on, do it properly.
What?
Haggle properly. This isn't worth 19.
You just said it was worth 20.
Oh, dear. Come on, haggle.
All right, I'll give you 10.
That's more like it. 10? Are you trying to insult me? Me with a poor dying grandmother? 10?
All right, I'll give you 11.
Now you're getting it. 11? Did I hear you right? 11? This cost me 12. You want to ruin me?
17?
No. 17.
18?
No, you're going to 14 now.
All right, I'll give you 14.
14? Are you joking?
That's what you told me to say.
Oh, dear.
Oh, tell me what to say, please.
Offer me 14.
I'll give you 14.
He's offering me 14 for this.
15?
17. My last word. I won't take a penny less or strike me dead.
60.
Done.
I think that's hilarious. You know, I mean, back in, you know, some places now and places back then, you know, you could haggle and you can negotiate a price down. You know, but most purchases, you can't do this, can you? You know, when you go in the store, you go out to eat, you can't haggle the price down. It's what it costs. You know, and maybe go ahead and try it. See if we could try to change the culture back to that again. That would be nice. You know, but most purchases, haggling is not an option. And we've got to know that when our cost of our sin was there, you know, for God, there was no option of haggling. For God, there was no negotiating. Your bail, your forgiveness was expensive. You know, anyone else would have had to walk away because they couldn't afford to pay for your forgiveness. But God stayed and God paid the full price for your forgiveness. There was no option for him to negotiate. Now, realizing how costly our sin is and thinking about the 12 plus billion people that have existed over the course of history, and you add up all of that sin, you realize just how huge of a payment was owed. You know, you think about just your sin and what that cost, and then think about 12 plus billion people and just the expense in the spiritual realm of that that much sin needing to be forgiven. You realize, my goodness, this was a huge payment that was owed. And what that should show us, as we realize how much our sin costs, is how insanely invaluable the life of Jesus must have been. That his life was enough to pay the debt of all of those people. His life was enough to pay for every single person's. You know, and that shows me that God must love us so much to give up something that precious for me. That God viewed you valuable enough to give up something as precious and invaluable as Jesus for you. You know, I think this reminds us of 1 Peter 1:19 that says that we were redeemed from the empty way of life by the precious blood of Jesus. Right? There was a high cost paid for your forgiveness. That's something truly invaluable, and that's what it cost God to save you. The life of Jesus. Now, we've got to realize how invaluable Jesus' life is, and that's what our sin cost. You know, when you sin, when you fall into sin, do you realize what that costs God? Do you realize how expensive that was? Does it hit you? How big of a deal forgiveness was to have to pay for that? Do you understand how incredibly invaluable Jesus is? You know, every Sunday when you take communion, are you just going through the motions? Or are you really stopping and really giving God your heart, examining yourself and reflecting on how precious and invaluable what Jesus paid for you was with his body and with his blood? Every day we need to remember that. You need to realize how much you cost. You know, we were expensive, and it cost the invaluable life of Jesus. And we should treat Jesus with that much preciousness and speciality in our life. You know, we were expensive. It cost God Jesus' life to have us. And understanding how valuable Jesus is and the price God paid to have us, our response to that should be, you know, God, you paid that for me, so I am not for sale. I am yours. With the first points being said, now it's your turn to show God how invaluable he is to you. Now that he bought you with Jesus, you are not for sale. Amen? Romans 5, verse 1 to 5. We'll go back to the beginning. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You know, this says that through Jesus, you now have peace with God, that you now stand in his grace, justified and righteousness. You were God's enemy, but now he has a home prepared for you in heaven and will willingly be with you all the time through his Spirit and walk through life with you. It's amazing what we have. You know, but it says along the way, we will suffer and need to persevere through that suffering along the way, right? Why? Why do we need to persevere? Why will we suffer? Because in this life, other things are going to come along and try to bargain for your soul to buy you back. And that's the spiritual war that we're in. You know, it may come in the form of sexual temptation. That might be how Satan in this world tries to buy you back. It may come through the desire for a relationship, just not being content with God alone. It might come through having a critical or a bad attitude about something or a difficult relationship with someone. It might come from going through a really tough time, or maybe from being overwhelmed with the worries of this world. It might come through being drawn to the deceitfulness of wealth and investing more in this life rather than life in heaven. You know, whatever it is that is trying to buy your soul, it is worth it to persevere through. It's worth it to persevere. You know, you are valuable enough to God for Him to persevere through the cross to save you. You should be willing to go through just as difficult of a time for your own salvation as Jesus was willing to go through for your salvation. Right? It's your salvation. Every day, there are bids being placed on your soul. But you've got to know God placed the highest bid, immeasurably all above all the others, that any other offer should just be laughable to you. We've got to see that anything else compared to God is a joke. What we have with Him, we should not be for sale. I can't even think of a comparison to communicate in terms of value. There just is none. Nothing is worth more than your discipleship. Nothing is worth more than your salvation. Jesus says in Luke 9, what good is it if you gain the whole world and lose or forfeit your very soul? That means that your soul is worth more than everything else in this whole world. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, there's about 1,426 billionaires in the world right now. They have a combined worth of $5,400 billion. We can't even comprehend that much money. And that's ignoring all the millionaires, which there's even more of, and everyone else. You know, the value of stuff on this planet is worth that much money. Don't even try. It's so much money. What God is saying is that your soul is worth more than that much money. Your soul is worth more than that. If you gained the whole world, all of that, and everything in it, but lost your soul, you would have a deficit. That means that from God's true eternal perspective in the spiritual realm, you with your salvation are richer right now than the combination of all those billionaires, of everyone else. You are richer. Why? You know, those trillions can only last you max 100 years if you're lucky. It can't buy your forgiveness, your eternal life. Those people will be envious of you on the day of judgment for eternity rather than you being envious of them for a few decades. It's not enough to cover the bill of our salvation. Everything money can buy, everything, is perishable and temporary. Your soul is eternal. Do you realize how insanely invaluable, precious, and important your salvation is? It's so valuable. Why would you ever contemplate giving it up for something? It's worth more than the world and everything in it. Not to mention the purpose we find in life as a Christian and the relationships we have as disciples that you can't put a monetary value on either. Just blessings on top of our salvation. You know, this morning, what price tag can be found on your soul? How much is it worth to you? What could come along and buy your devotion to God? And you need to really evaluate that, because every year it happens to multiple people. Sell their soul for something else. What could come along and buy your devotion to God? The answer for all of us should be a resounding nothing. I am not for sale. You've got to realize how absolutely terrible, wrong, and pathetic of a trade anything else would be. Impurity, money, career, relationship, a degree, comfort. You know, if Christianity became illegal and you had to go to jail for the rest of your life, if you became homeless because of it, if you were disowned by your family, even being killed or tortured even, is not worth giving it up. It's not worth it to lose your eternal salvation, your relationship with God, your soul. So what's more valuable to you, your soul or what's tempting you today? If you realize how much God paid for you, and that there's literally nothing in existence worth more than your relationship with Him, then you would firmly stand on the fact that your soul, your salvation, your walk with God is not for sale. You'd have the conviction that you cannot break. This is it. You know that you were bought at a price, and no one and nothing else can afford you over what God paid for you. God paid the highest price. He loves you the most. There's nothing that we should trade for that. You know, I really do think we just got to have a conviction that there's nothing I would trade my discipleship for. I'm in this for life. What would come along that I would give this up? What would be worth it? What would I even do with myself? How could I stop being a disciple? What would I be thinking each day? You know the truth. How would you move on from that? You know what God did for you? You know, if there's anything tempting you for your soul right now, testing your character, I want you to realize how pathetic of a bid it is for how much your soul is worth, and maybe even just try to learn to laugh at it. This is a joke. Are you kidding me, Satan? You're funny. You think I would trade my salvation for that? For him? For her? For this? For that sin? It's not worth it. You know, people leave God for things that Satan must laugh at. Can't believe that got him. Instead, we should be the ones laughing at Satan's offer. No matter how well it's packaged, we can know there's garbage inside. Philippians 3:7-9 says, "Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." Every year, too many disciples are giving in and giving up their faith for garbage. Don't let it happen to you. Don't trade your soul for anything. This year, don't let you be the one to trade your soul for something worthless compared to your walk with God. Persevere through whatever it is. End this year faithful. End your life faithful. It's up to you. You're going to decide whether you hang in there and persevere or you give up. Nothing should compare to your love and devotion to God. God deserves all of us. He paid the highest price, the greatest. He put in the highest bid. You know, stand firm that you are not for sale. Have a deep conviction that I belong to God. He owns me. And Jesus is Lord of all of me. You know, you've got to have these convictions. You've got to have a conviction that because Jesus bought you, my faith is not for sale. My purity is not for sale. My heart is not for sale. My doctrine is not for sale. My devotion to His church is not for sale. My convictions are not for sale. My integrity is not for sale. My attitude is not for sale. My trust and my hope are not for sale. My commitment is not for sale. My life is not for sale. My soul is not for sale. I am not for sale. I am God's. He bought me with Jesus, who is my Lord and my Savior. That's got to be your conviction. We have an invaluable truth. To God and to no one else, you are priceless. He paid the highest cost for your soul with Jesus' life. And now, you are His. And let's all leave here for the rest of our lives, not for sale. Amen? Thank you.